This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5. I'm Igor, and of course, always with us is the master gardener himself, Bob Harris. Welcome back, and hey, great to see you.
Oh, thanks. Great to see you, too.
We have the phone lines, of course, that you just heard. We have the email address, garden@wesb.com, and we are on Facebook Live. So if you'd like to comment a question for Bob there, you can do so.
Want to do the Facebook first?
Well, we have an email.
We
have
email.
An email. So let's, a couple days ago, Kara emailed us here. She says, we have had these pop up every year. Can you tell me what it is and how do we get rid of it permanently? So what are we looking at here? She included a picture. It's a green, I don't know, what is that?
Yeah, it's a...
It's something green.
It looks to me like what we call Joe Pye weed, with that red stem and that larger leaf. And, of course, it will eventually make a lot of berries. And if you have small children or pets, be aware, you know, those berries can be a little poisonous.
Oh.
So it is a good idea to get rid of it if it's in your yard. So it gets about 3-4 foot tall when it's mature. To get rid of it, pulling it is not going to probably do what you want it to do. You can pull it. You won't eradicate it totally that way. Probably no doubt has dropped a lot of seeds. Some of them seeds can remain in the soil for years. And then when conditions are right, all of a sudden they'll germinate and grow. So I'm going to suggest that if it's just a small area, you can cover it with plastic or newspaper or cardboard, and then some mulch to hold it all in place, and that will eventually choke it out, or you'll have to go to an herbicide like Roundup and religiously spray it. Wait 2 to 3 weeks. If any more remain, then give it another spraying. Be careful with the spraying, you know, read all the instructions and follow what it says. Don't spray on a windy day. Don't spray on any day over 80 degrees. And you should be able to eradicate it that way. But it's going to take some time, one way or the other.
So that's a pesky one, huh?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
Okay.
Some people enjoy it, even encourage it. But most of us gardeners don't want it in our yard.
Great advice. And thanks for the email, Kara. Well, you do have some notes here today.
Yeah, I do.
What do you have in mind?
A reminder that all those container plants, the hanging baskets and pots and window boxes, are going to be important now that we start really fertilizing and not missing that fertilizing. That's going to be the plants now. I've got a big root system by now. They're growing very rapidly, flowering a lot. That all takes a great deal of energy. And we have to supplement all that energy with a little fertilizer. So don't forget that. But again, one clue, don't fertilize if you have let the plant dry out totally. Hit it with water at first with just plain water till you get the soil all damp. Then you can fertilize. Don't fertilize a dry plant. You can cause damage, but do fertilize. And then our vegetable gardens, too. It may be a good time to start fertilizing. Everything should be off and growing by now. So,
and goodness knows the soil's wet enough right now.
Yeah, it is.
Mine is, anyway.
I think all of ours are.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to start fertilizing. And, you know, watch the rain. If we do get a large amount of rain, it's probably washed some of that fertilizer away. So we may want to fertilize again to help supplement those plants to keep them growing real well. A good time, too, now, probably a lot of the tomato plants have started to grow quite rapidly. And a tomato plant is just well known to produce more leaves than it really needs. And it can cause a lot of damage to the plant because we're not getting good air circulation and good sunlight into the center of the plant. So you may want to think about, and I really highly suggest it, you thin it out a bit. Cut off some of those big leaves, especially start with the ones near the ground.
I just gave my wife that pointer the other day because last week when we played the best of, it was the tomato plant when you brought it in and you showed how to take off all the stuff on the bottom. And I was quite surprised how, the amount that you could take off to help it grow tall and give us fruit. So I said, you know what? Take those leaves off on the bottom that are touching the dirt. She was impressed.
And, you know, if conditions get just right and those leaves are touching or near the dirt, they can, of course, the rain will come down, splash up those diseases and funguses, and the tomato plant is susceptible to a lot of them. So it's a good idea to keep a lot of those leaves off that's close to the soil. I'm going to say within 6 inches of the soil. Your tomato plant ought to be, 2 or 3 foot tall now. So that 6 inches right at the base is a good idea so you don't get that splash up. And that you get good air circulation. And if we do get a lot of rain, that all those leaves aren't shading the soil so that we don't get good evaporation. That can be important, too, because you could overwater a tomato plant. Try to trim those leaves off and then go up the plant. And here and there, try to trim a few of the large leaves off so that you can see through the plant. That way air can get through it. And always keep the leaves dry that way because a lot of those funguses and diseases count on high humidity. If the leaf surface stays wet for a long period of time at a certain temperature, that gives that fungus or that disease a chance to take hold and start growing in the plant. And then once it does start like that, there's no stopping it, no matter what you do. So, again, trim up the bottom so nothing's touching or close to the soil. Thin out throughout the plant so air can pass right through it to help dry out those leaves quickly, and you ought to be successful that way.
Great advice. Thank you for that. I never realized that you could, thin it out and not. That's a good trick to be able to see through it.
Yeah.
If you could see through it a little bit, that means the breeze could pass through. That's great. Our phone lines are open at 814-368-9372. If you have a question for Bob, I see we have half a dozen listeners, viewers on Facebook Live today. Thank you for viewing, and you can go ahead and comment your question for Bob if you'd like to say hello or have a question. We'd be glad to hear from you.
Another little hint for your container plants, besides keeping them well fertilized now, if we do run into a period that it starts to get a little dry and you find yourself watering your container every day or every other day, what we can do is add a little liquid soap to our watering can. That will help keep the soil moist longer for us. So we won't have to be out there watering every day. Some people even twice a day. So that little bit of liquid soap is going to be very helpful to help hold that water till the plant needs it. And also that liquid soap, if there is any bugs in the soil, because July is really the bug month, chances are it's going to suffocate them and keep your plant free of bugs. So that leads me on to, it's a good idea to now start really watching all your plants for bugs, because this is bug season now. And there's a lot of them out there now.
I'll tell you what, we have a problem with flies.
Flies?
Flies are bad this year where I am.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone seems to be having their own certain problem. A lot of people with the gypsy moth caterpillar.
I saw a couple Japanese beetles already.
Yep. Japanese beetles are beginning now. That's usually about July 4th is when they begin. So keep your eye out for all that. A lot of other bugs. Even when you're out there inspecting your plants, take that little piece of white paper that I've talked about in the past, put it underneath the foliage, tap on the foliage. That will dislodge some of those insects onto the paper so you can help identify them. If there are bugs there, you'll see those little specks of dirt moving around. That's a live bug. So you may be thinking about something to do to help alleviate the attack that your plant is going through. And of course, that first line of defense is going to be, if they're larger bugs, you can pick them off and destroy them. If they're those small bugs, a good blast for the hose can knock them down and help clean up the plant, give the plant a chance to build up its defenses against those bugs.
You know what I've seen? You're talking about little dots on paper.
Yeah.
I have those. They're, every now and then I see them. They're like little tiny red dot things.
Yeah.
What are those, like mites or something?
Yeah,
or?
Those are a spider mite.
Are those, should I be concerned about those?
Yeah, they're very common. And what they do is they pierce the leaf of the plant and start sucking the juices out. And if the population gets big enough on a plant, they can really harm the plant. Be aware of those. A red spider mite. It's a real common pest in Bradford.
Mm.
And they're usually one of the easier ones to get rid of. A good blast from the garden hose knocks them off. That cleans them up. I even will sometimes just take a rake and without damaging a plant, rake through the plant. You really shake it up. That dislodges them too. They hit the ground. They usually don't have enough energy to make it back up to a good feeding point. They're going to feed on newer foliage. They don't usually feed at the lower part of the plant where old leaves or needles are, because those parts of the plant are usually a thicker part. So the mite doesn't have a long enough mouth part to get in there. They're going to go up towards the top or where there's a lot of active growth, new growth, and that makes it easier for them to feed. So look for those parts too. Don't put that piece of paper right at the bottom of the plant. You know, go halfway up or near the top. That's where you'll find those bugs. And again, you can shake them out of there. You can blast them out with water and give that a chance to see if that did it. If that didn't, then there are some safer chemicals that you can spray that will eradicate them. But think about some of the other things that a lot of things you do come with consequences if you're using any kind of sprays, chemical sprays. That if the plant's in full bloom, it's probably being visited by a lot of pollinators. If you can hold back on spraying, that's the time to do it. We don't want to harm those pollinators. We're really losing them fast. So use that blast of water or shaking the plant or hand picking them if at all possible. Or just mix up some soapy water and try to spray that on. Most of the time, that soapy water is going to kill those nasty bugs for you.
Wow.
But try to hold off on using any chemical spray, especially if that plant is in flower.
All right, great. We'll take a short break. We'll be back with more gardening pointers with Master Gardener Bob Harris right here on B107.5 FM. And we'll take your phone calls too.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford, like railroad ties for your lawn and garden projects, lawnmower blades and repair kits, and gas-powered string trimmers. Worth Smith also carries a full line of durable Kevlar belts up to 120 inches in length. You'll find plenty of concrete mix in stock. And for your grilling or camper, don't forget to take your propane tanks to Worth Smith for a summertime fill-up. It's really true. If you need it, you'll always find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And we're back with the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. We're on Facebook Live. That's facebook.com/WESB107.5. And you can comment on there, and we'll keep an eye out for your questions on that route. Or we have email, garden@WESB.com.
So I talked a little bit about the gypsy moth and the Japanese beetle, but I didn't mention what we can do. Now, if you're really under a big attack, of the gypsy moth, I'll start with. There are certain things we can do. We can spray what they call BT. Now, it's not really a chemical insecticide. What it is a living creature that attacks the gypsy moth caterpillar and kills them off that way. And you'll notice if it's working, you'll see those gypsy moths caterpillars that are climbing up the trunk of the tree, and they die there, and they kind of fold in half. So they look like an L. It might be an upside down L or a right way L.
Maybe it's a seven.
But yeah. But that's a sign that either naturally you've got a lot of BT in your area, or that you have sprayed it in the past. It is a natural occurring thing, this BT.
What is BT? Bluetooth?
It's Bacillus thuringiensis.
Wow. God bless you.
Yeah. So that is the critter that will attack and help keep the gypsy moth under control. The Japanese beetle, another product, and not a chemical insecticide. This is another safe one. And it's called Milky Spore. Usually comes in a powder form that you sprinkle around your lawn. Now, both of these things take a lot of time to show any effects. It's not going to be overnight as if you used a chemical spray. But again, with chemical sprays, you know, there's a lot of unwanted consequences sometimes with those. But with the BT or the Milky Spore, there's not going to be any of those unwanted consequences. They are specific. The BT attacks the caterpillar, and the Milky Spore is going to attack the Japanese beetle. And how it does it is it will it's a creature that's not awake. It's hibernating. Once it hits the soil, it comes awake, especially if there is a population of Japanese beetles in the ground, because the Japanese beetle first started its life out as a grub underneath your ground, and it feeds on the roots of plants. But that BT will come alive. It'll get on that grub, and of course it starts to destroy the grub from the inside out. How it got its name, Milky Spore, was if you have a grub and you squish it and milk comes out of it, that is a grub that's been attacked by Milky Spore, and that means there's not going to be a beetle from that grub.
Boy, if you weren't hungry for breakfast before,
yeah,
that sounds delicious.
I was trying to make it sound a little better. So there are products to take care of these insects safely and without consequences. You know, a lot of the other bugs, a lot of people like to order the ladybugs to get rid of aphids and a lot of other little bugs. They work very well. Praying mantis. There's a lot of beneficial, what we call beneficial insects that attack the bad guys for us. And if we can encourage them by not spraying chemicals, then we'll build up those populations. And eventually, nature will pretty much take care of itself. So be patient sometimes. Try those, what we call mechanical ways of taking care of bugs, like the blast of the hose or you hand picking, or even those slugs, like, you know, you go out there with the salt shaker and you can destroy those slugs in a hurry. Those little things like that. Try to do those first.
All right. Now, you were, what was I, ladybugs. You said you can introduce ladybugs. People actually order.
Yes.
You can do that. I had no idea.
Getting quite common and quite popular. And they'll go to work immediately. Now, don't order ladybugs because you think you have a problem.
Uh-oh.
First, see that you have a problem, like aphids. And how you're going to find aphids is usually going to be at the very tip of a growth on a plant. I'll use a popular plant around here, the burning bush. Or some people call it the cork bush, too. But burning bush turns red in the fall. You'll see the very tip of the plant start to get what we call a shepherd's hook look. The very tip is not standing straight out. It kind of bends. And if you look real close, you'll probably see little tiny green or brown bugs there. And what they're doing is sucking the juice out of that very tip. They got to be at the very tip where new growth is again, because that's the thinnest skin of the plant. So it makes it easy for them. Another clue to see if you have aphids, you may see a lot of ants in the area. Because as an aphid is drinking the juice out of the plant, it's releasing sugars when it goes to the bathroom. And of course, the ants are interested in those sugars. So the ants are attracted to there, to the point where ants will even farm the aphids. They will help protect the aphids against predators like birds or other animals that may attack them. So if you're seeing all that, then you may want to order that little package of ladybugs and release them in that area. And you'll see them go to work immediately, starting to eat up those aphids.
And there's nothing bad that ladybugs could. I thought they were. I always thought that they were destructive.
No, they're not. Ladybugs are not destructive at all. Okay. Yeah, they feed on other insects.
No kidding. All right. And how many like usually take care of it? What do you get in the mail? Like 100, 1,000, or what?
Yeah, I think you get like 50 or 100 in a container. I'm not positive on that.
That is fascinating. Yeah. I had no idea.
No. and there's other bugs you too that you can order to eradicate other pests that may be in your yard. Natural way of doing it.
That's very cool. 368-WESB, 814-368-9372 to get a question for the Master Gardener, Bob Harris. And we have about 5 minutes left.
So that's just a hint, you know, that July is a bug season. So you really should be inspecting your plants, because they can do their damage before you turn around again. So try to inspect them, you know, as much as you can. Another thing that will start occurring in our yards is we went through the dandelions and all those spring weeds. Now we have a different crop of weeds popping up, and that will be the summer weeds. And probably some of us are already seeing the clover.
I was just going to say, I went to cut my grass last night, and I just ended up cutting the clover.
Yeah. and it's a good idea. And to continue that, don't let those summer weeds grow and then flower and produce seed, because a lot of those seeds they produce can sit in that soil for years and years, sometimes decades. And then all of a sudden, they'll germinate, and you've still got a bigger crop of weeds. So that if we cut them off and just before they start flowering, we'll stop that process, and eventually we'll have some control of the weeds.
I have no control of the weeds. My whole lawn was just flowered up, just all white clover.
You know, and in my past, I can remember. You know, it's kind of different when in the 50s, when I was a young child and helping my dad or my grandpa in the lawn. That was my job, was lawn care, even when I was, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. When you would go buy grass seed, you would also buy clover seed to spread in your lawn. Now, for reasons, because that's something that was always green in your yard. And it would flower and attract a lot of bees that would help your vegetable garden. So sometimes clover is not a bad thing, but some of us just like to have a clean stand of grass. But there's nothing wrong with having some clover like your yard. Nothing wrong with that.
No, my yard has some grass. It's mostly clover.
Because you may be doing a very important part of supporting that bee population that needs our support right now.
I like your positive spin on that. And by the way, picturing you as a 9-year-old, I've always known you with a white beard.
Oh.
I just picture that 9-year-old with a white beard.
No, I didn't have it then. No. But I did enjoy helping my dad or my grandpa in the garden a lot, and still do.
We have 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay. So be aware that now that new crop of weeds is going to pop up. And so try to stay on top of it, whether you do some hand pulling or treating, just continually cutting your grass. And in this area, we can, if we have to, lower the mower a little bit. Now, I wouldn't get below 2 inches. Don't lower it down to 1 inch and cut your grass, because at that time you can even cause more of a problem, because the shorter your grass is, the more sunlight's getting to the ground and the more open space letting those weeds germinate. That's what some of those weeds have been waiting for, that open sunlight to germinate. And so it can cause a bigger problem that way. So try to cut your lawn maybe 3 inches. Now, if you do have a weed problem and you don't want them to flower, you can cut it down to 2, but don't go below that. Or you can try the other way, like I do, 3 to 4 inch high. By doing that, I'm shading out the soil and making it difficult for those weed seeds to germinate. And if they do germinate, they're not getting enough sun because of my taller grass. So they have a rough time getting a start in life, and possibly don't get a good start in life, a good enough one to flower and complete their cycle of life.
I think we're about done.
Oh, my gosh.
That one just sped by. But, hey, never fear. We're on demand at WESB.com, and you can hear any of this season's or last season's or the one before that.
Oh, all right. Show.
We have like 2 years of archives on there. And, of course, we'll be back next week live and
you bet.
Taking your phone calls. And you have a fantastic, a great 4th of July weekend, Bob.
Yeah, thanks.
And enjoy some hot dogs, I guess, right?
You're darn right.
We're gonna eat like 300 million hot dogs on 4th of July alone or something I read. My goodness. So enjoy and be safe. And we'll see you next week right here on The Gardening Show on B107.5.